We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Yes, we are. Thank you for being with us. Feels good to have football games back in our life. Football games mean football guests. You're going to hear him on the Spiegel and Parkin show on Mondays. You're going to hear him with Hub and Olin Krutz once again on our Bears post game right here on The Score. He is former Chicago Bear James Big Cat Williams by way of the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. What's up, Big Cat? You ready for football season?
Oh, yeah. How could you not be ready, man? It's been too long without it. It seems like that the off season is so long for the average casual fan that I am now.
Great to have you back on the station this year, man. Really enjoy listening to you and Olin Duke post and then learning some stuff with you on Mondays. It's I was really excited about that game, really looking forward to watching Mitch, but I did not get to see him till very, very late. Seemed like the coaches and maybe the whole organization was really trying to set up Mike Glennon to have some success and look good. What did you think of the first team offense with Mike Glennon?
Well, I think that, you know, from all the things that they told us after they drafted Mitchell Trubisky, that Glennon was going to be the starting quarterback and they planned on using him throughout the season, this is about what I expected to see. You know, I was very happy to see what Trubisky was able to do last week, but, you know, they've got to get into their plan. And if they don't plan on putting him on the field, you know, we're going to see a lot of Glennon. The thought, the hope, the dream of seeing Trubisky running a lot with the first unit, I just don't think is going to happen this preseason because, you know, they've gone out there. They've made such a statement as far as him not being a starter this year or until late in the season if, unfortunately, something happens to Glennon. You know, this is about what I expected to see. The first offense went out there. They looked halfway decent at times. You know, you throw an interception down in the red zone, which never looks good, which brings back bad memories of, you know, Bears games of past. So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, and, you know, they're going to have to get Glennon caught up and caught up quick and, you know, see what they can do in the first couple games to just make him look like a viable NFL quarterback.
Big Cat, I'm with you. I'm not surprised that they're handling it this way based on everything that they've said, but after watching the two games, I don't really get it because it wouldn't be a bad thing if Mitch Trubisky was good and won the job. They traded up and drafted him number two overall. Like, how valuable would hypothetical game reps with starters be for Mitch Trubisky, even if he isn't the week one starter against Atlanta?
Well, I think that it's always viable. Anytime you can get a player that you visualize being a starter eventually, anytime that you can get him those reps with the first unit, going up against a first string defensive unit, you know, it helps him in his maturity. It helps him in his growing, in the growing aspect of it all. But what you also have to realize is they still have a lot of pieces that they need to put in place. Your offensive line is, you know, pretty good right now. You know, they moved Whitehair to guard with Long being out. And, you know, that's a question for me. If Long's out for a long period of time, are we going to see Whitehair at guard instead of center? Are we going to see Grissou in there at center? You know, has Grissou proven himself that he's, you know, going to be that backup center? You know, we don't know these things yet, but, you know, you look at the wide receiver position. Who's he going to throw to? You know, you have guys struggling to get open right now, and you don't want a young quarterback back there getting battered and bashed trying to wait on people to get open. You know, you just can't have that. It's going to affect his mental. It's going to affect his psyche. I don't care, you know, how strong of a player he is, how strong of a will he has. you know, after a while, that starts to take its toll on you. So you want to put him in the best situation possible. So you've got to, you know, you've got to strengthen up some other areas. You've got to get you some wide receivers that can get open, or you've got to prove that the guys that you have now can get open. Otherwise, you really, you know, you can't put him in there. It might do too much damage.
How do you feel about the tackles moving forward here into this season? You just talked about the middle, and we'll see how it plays out with Whitehair and Grisou. But, I mean, I feel like we've barely even talked about the tackles. Everybody's just kind of hoping they're good enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, you haven't brought anyone in to really challenge that position. I think towards the end of the season last year and through these first preseason games, I think, you know, Massey has started to figure some things out. I felt as though, you know, in the beginning of the season, he had changed a few things up and it was affecting his game, and, you know, he wasn't playing as big and as strong as he actually is. Towards the end of the season and into this preseason, it seems like he's playing a little bit better. Now, I haven't gone through and breaking film down or anything like that, but, you know, just to the naked eye. And, you know, Leno Jr. is Leno Jr. He is who he is. He's a young guy with ability, with talent, but, you know, you wonder how high his ceiling is. You know, I think with the proper teaching and things like that, he has the ability to be a very good left tackle. You know, will we see that out of him this season and into the future? You don't know.
Talking to James Big Cat Williams on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Changing positions on the interior with Kyle Long's injury. Is it worth it to move Cody Whitehair, who's at this point the best offensive lineman, for Grisou to be at center, or how would you handle that?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, it all depends on, you know, your level of confidence in Grisou. In the past, the level of confidence hasn't been too high. You know, now has him, you know, coming back off an injury, having another off season of workouts, getting the opportunity to learn the scheme, learn the system, learn the guys around him. Has that made him better? I mean, you know, we won't know until the actual regular season starts if they, you know, use him at center. But, you know, I go back to last year. You did all the moving around of Kyle Long, and you know, you kind of realize after all that he was better at right guard. You know, now he's at left guard. Now you've got Whitehair moving to left guard. You know, you kind of want to, with an offensive line, you want to kind of put those pieces in place and leave those pieces there to let them grow, let them mold, you know, with the rest of the offensive line. But you're doing a lot of moving around, a lot of jumbling of pieces, and I'm just not sure how well that's going to work out. But like you said, Cody Whitehair right now, the way he's playing, he could play center guard. You know, it's all about the pieces that they have to put in to adjust to that. You know, Grisou at center, sitting at right guard. You know, how are all those other things going to play out?
I like Jarrell Freeman. I like watching him tackle in the open field, and he's solid. In terms of that D line, though, playing in front of him, I've been looking for somebody else to step up and improve a little bit, show something at the five tech. Did you like Jonathan Bullard's game, or how about Lamar Houston? Talk to me about what we've seen from the D ends.
Well, Jonathan Bullard worries me just because I'm not sure. You know, we watched him last year, and the big thing was how fast he was able to get off the ball. And then as the season went on, you realized that, okay, this is the NFL now. You can't guess the snap count. If you're fast off the ball, you're legitimately fast off the ball because you're watching it, and those fast twitch muscles are going. This is going to be his year to show whether, you know, he's just guessing at it, whether he's, you know, getting a first, you know, the first sound count of the quarterback, Set Hutt, and he's on it. But when they start going to on the second sound, or, you know, on the third Hutt, or breaking things up, is he a little slower off the ball? You know, these are things that we're going to have to find out this year to determine whether he can be as good as people think he can be, or, you know, whether it's just a show. The defensive line is going to be thin, I think. You know, it's Akeem Hicks. You got to get him back on the field. And if he's healthy and can play to his full potential, he's a great asset for you. But as you start to get further and further down the line, you lose all that. You know, you're hoping that Goldman can be good and be consistent for the entire season. You know, we don't know. You know, there's a lot of question marks all over this team, offensively, defensively, special teams wise. You know, there are a lot of things to figure out, and there are only two more games left to figure all this stuff out and put this plan in motion. But you know, I mean, we're all sitting back watching with our fingers crossed right now, hoping everything works out.
Do you think this team has any chance of being good?
Yeah, I think they do. I think you know, a lot of things have to go their way, but you know, you have NFL caliber players on the team. I think you need a.
That's a low bar. Because by definition, if they are employed by an NFL team, they are NFL caliber players.
Yeah, but you need some superstars on your team. You need, you know, you just brought up Freeman. You know, Freeman's a heck of a force in the middle, but you know, you need to be strong all the way up the middle. You need to be strong at your nose guard. You need to be strong at your middle linebackers. You need to be strong at your safeties. And, you know, they're not there yet. You know, there are things that they need, and they need talent at certain positions, not just NFL talent, but NFL Pro Bowl talent.
Who's the best player? You know? Who's the best player on this team? Who are the best, like, two, three, four players on this team in your mind?
Well, we'll start off with Freeman. We'll go to Long if he can when he's healthy. You know, a lot of the guys that I'll name will be if they're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can they stand out? Yes, if they're healthy, if they can play an entire season, if they're not getting nicked here and there. You know, Zach Miller would be a good player on this team, but you can't guarantee he's going to be healthy for the entire season. You have to hope that Howard is able to come back and not only duplicate, but excel what he did last year. You know, you have a young running back right now in Tariq Cohen. You know, you have to hope that he exceeds expectations. You know, there's a lot of hopes and dreams right now as far as, you know, the Bears being good, but it's always possible. Is it likely? I'm not sure, but it's possible.
Well, get ready for the calls on Bears postgame with you and Olin and Hub, and we'll be talking to you throughout the season. Thank you, Big Cat.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
All right. That's James Big Cat Williams on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. Again, score postgame with Hub, Big Cat, and Olin Kreutz after every Bears game this season.
I've barely talked about Tariq Cohen, which was the most exciting thing to watch on Saturday night.
Yep.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that he deserved, because there's something we talked about a little bit last week from Tariq Cohen that it's different than I thought it was going to be this early. And I think that there's a lot of upside there. Plus, the phenomenon that is sweeping the nation is starting. The eclipse has begun to be visible on the West Coast. So get excited, Speaks.
Well,
I know you are.
I am excited. We're going to end transition early so I can go to the building's eclipse party. There's an eclipse party where they're handing out glasses. I got to get there by 1:21.
This segment brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time. Use Spot Hero anytime you park downtown. First-time users can enter promo code CITY for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sam Rosen's old.
It's really, really old.
It's old.
It's really, really Jewish. Just extremely old and Jewish. I think of my grandparents when I see him. I just do. I see him and I hear him talk and I think of grandparents and I think of being young at synagogue and being like, who are these people?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Am I going to be one of these people? Really? I don't know. And now, of course, I want to grow old like those people. But Sam's just, and I think of like the classic Sam Rosen mistakes of all time. It was like 2 years ago, he thought he was doing a hockey game. Yeah, he tossed a break saying, "You're listening to the New York Rangers television network." In the middle of a Bears preseason game.
It's confusing,
I lost it. And all I could think of was like Sam was up there thinking he was doing a hockey game and being like, "This is the worst ice I've ever seen. What is this?
It's a different type of complaint for the Soldier Field turf.
These helmets look different. What's going on here?"
Yeah.
Who are these people on the ice? It's a terrible hockey game.
It's just
Sam.
More diverse than most hockey rosters.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
How many Subans do we have in this game?
Unbelievable progress we're making.
Well, he thought it was a great start. Statistically, they had their moments where you could say good things about Mike Glennon, and it sure felt like Sam was trying to do so.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, it was great. We haven't mentioned Tariq Cohen enough, I will say. I will say that, yeah. That's what I got for you.
Segway.
That transition brought to you by AutoZone. If your check engine light comes on, head to AutoZone. Their Fix Finder tool can check it on the spot for free. Get in the zone.
But no, we haven't mentioned Tariq Cohen, and he was incredibly fun to watch. He's been fun to watch. He's obviously very quick, and we knew that, but he's strong. He runs tough. He's not afraid to go through you, and he capitalizes on the surprise factor that he's even trying to go through you.
Yeah, and I thought that he was going to be like the Darren Sproles, like the pass-catching version of Darren Sproles, was how they were trying to put him in.
Yeah.
But if he can also be like the early running back version of Darren Sproles, where you can actually get that speed and burst turning around and handing it to him, it's just such an advantage, because then you can call run plays and pass plays when he's out there. It doesn't telegraph your play call. He can be, thunder and lightning with Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard can wear you down, maybe get 4 or 5 carries on a drive. Then he just comes in and, maybe not as many substitutions for a defense.
Right.
Get him in there. You can still turn around, hand it to him, and he gets that burst. Like, his ability to do this off of handoffs, to me, is a huge development for the Bears early on, because we know they're not going to be throwing it very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're going to be a running team, for better or for worse.
Now that sounds good. Jordan Howard pounding away, and then here comes Tariq Cohen, and all of a sudden he's running by you.
Right, and you don't have to completely abandon your playbook and to throw the ball to him. You can actually just turn around and hand it to him. He's going to be a factor week one as a running back. And I did not think that was going to be the case.
I didn't either. I wasn't sure.
You know, like late round picks, small school, making the jump, so undersized. Like, he will absolutely get touches against the Atlanta Falcons.
Is Jeremy Langford even going to make this team? I mean, Benny Cunningham can do some things. He's had some success. Jeremy Langford, I mean, Kadeem Carey has played special teams now for a couple of years.
Right.
And I believe he took special team snaps on Saturday. I don't remember seeing him this particular Saturday, but I know he's done it. And I don't believe Langford has really shown himself to be much of a special teams player.
I haven't done I usually try to do it, but cutting down where they don't have the cut to 75 anymore has changed it, where they just do every cut from the 90 down to the 53 man. I haven't even gotten to like trying to figure out the guys 40 through 53 plus the 8 practice squatters. I haven't even done it yet, because we're not near where they need to have a cut yet. We're going to be able to see the entire third preseason game before we even have to start really thinking about cuts. So I haven't looked at, like, are they going to carry 7 offensive linemen or 8? How many running backs are they going to have? Who doubles on special teams? We still have time.
I think Langford's in a lot of trouble, though, because if you're not useful on special teams, and Tariq Cohen might be stepping up, and they've always liked that Kadeem Carey runs really hard.
Right.
You know? I think Langford's in some trouble.
And they kind of, obviously you don't want to see Jordan Howard get injured with the corneal abrasion or whatever it was, looking at the eclipse early, but it's just, it's nice that he doesn't have to get any extra hits here. Like, so you can actually see these other guys work that out and hopefully keep Jordan Howard fresh. Like, I don't want to see him against the Titans. Do want to see a lot of Mitch Trubisky, but no Jordan Howard. We have a Bears update.
It's an impromptu edition of Danny Doesn't Know. Oh,
that's right.
You know that band?
Scotty Doesn't Know?
No, this band.
Dark Side of the Moon?
Yes!
Yeah.
Who's the band?
Pink Floyd.
Nice!
It's a popular album.
That's Brain Damage, and it's about to segue to Eclipse. Topical! We went topical on you, and I would posit that there are very few more satisfying album closers than Brain Damage and Eclipse. You make your way through Dark Side of the Moon, then you get to Eclipse, and it's incredibly satisfying. Makes me very, very musically happy.
I have nothing to add because I'm in complete agreement with your analysis.
Good. See, whoo, man.
Yeah.
I love talking music with you.
Yeah, exactly. Not a lot of pushback.
Want me to save the tape on that one?
We're totally simpatico. Yeah, the eclipse is, it's fine. I'm fine with it. I'm not moved by it.
Well,
I'm not moved by the eclipse.
You're not alone. It's like I heard Brad Biggs this morning going, harumph. You know, I saw my buddy Steve Greenberg tweeted his dad. He told his dad, he was talking to his dad about it. And his dad's like, it gets dark and then it gets light again. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I've seen it
what's
be dark.
What's wrong with you people?
Let me
it's
give you
a freaking, do you know?
Let me give you a caveat.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
If I had kids, I would absolutely build it up for kids. Yeah. Like, oh, this is, you know, science, planets, sun, moon,
astronomer.
Astronomy.
You're being an astronomer today.
Of course.
My ex just sent me a picture of Ruben down on the farm, on her family's farm in southern Illinois. It's in the path of totality. And they're down there, and he's got the glasses, and he's checking it out, and he's going crazy, enjoying himself.
And how old is Ruben? Five?
5 years old.
The eclipse is perfect for a five-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
What do I get out of it?
What do you get out of it?
What do I get?
Apparently nothing. But maybe you
what
could catch
I
up.
Get out of it?
Well, you could catch up perhaps on the latest viral video or something instead. You could maybe look at Twitter or something instead of looking up in the freaking sky.
Yeah.
At the bizarre and extremely rare anomaly that is a full-on eclipse. Danny, did you know that the sun is 400 times larger than the moon? But it also happens to be 400 times farther away. Which to the observer on the ground means they are almost identical in size. That's why they look identical in size, because they are 400 times larger, but it's about 400 times farther away. So you very rarely get this thing. In the hundreds of billions of star systems in the galaxy, few are likely to produce total solar eclipses like ours. It's coincidence not only of spatial relations, but also of time and motion. Heavenly bodies are in a constant state of change. The New York Times tells me things that I think are interesting, and I pass them on to you so you can snarkily say, I'll just, you know, look at another cat video.
No, I mean, that's not even what I'm saying. Like, here's what it was.
Yeah.
If I was walking down the road and there was the eclipse glasses stand and they were free and it was at the precise moment that the eclipse was happening, I would grab the glasses and I would look at it. But like, this idea of like, taking off work, getting on trains, traveling, people flying in from Europe, like going out of your way.
You're right, because the path of totality extends from Oregon down to Charleston, South Carolina.
That is not something I can relate to as an adult. Like, I saw the local news interviewing someone who got off the planet O'Hare from Europe to go see the eclipse, and it's like, there are going to be professional photographers and videographers that take pictures and photos of this.
Right.
And if I was going to go to Europe, I would do it for something more than 2 minutes of the moon becoming in the way of the sun.
Here's what I really, really like about, you know, modern day society is that everybody is so desperate for snark on absolutely everything that something like this happens and people are just racing to crap all over it more creatively than the next guy. This is why
it's just not for me.
That's why I hate people.
It's just not for me. You can do whatever you want. I just wouldn't get on. I wouldn't do it. That's all it is. Oh, Grobber got in on the eclipse talk?
Oh, no. I think that's old. That's Adam Harris.
Oh.
Back when Grobber had one of the more famous astronomical conversations in the history of sports talk radio.
Okay.
Where he decided that Pluto was a planet,
if it's the way it always was, then that's the way Les thinks it should be.
Les refuses the new classification of Pluto as not a planet by NASA, because what do they know?
That's a hot planet take. Cold planet take.
That's right. Hot solar system takes.
Yeah, I like it.
From Les. He doesn't like change. Les doesn't like change. No robot umpires.
Right, right.
Because what would they do in the rain?
It's confusing.
Do we have any progress on that, by the way? Does Les still believe that robot umpires are robots? I know you played a caller last week on the day that I missed.
Yes, I did. People keep following up with Les on this. And by the way, if you do, if you're ever listening to the Grobber and you hear him give us robot
umpire
gold, add us on Twitter with a timestamp and we'll go back retro interactively.
Yeah, because it, I like this. It's kind of a conversation between the two shows who do not interact.
Right.
Les played a little bit of tape of us talking about him.
Right.
And then a caller brought up us talking about it, and he stood by his thought, I believe, that they are actual robots.
Yeah, he stood by it. He's got feelings. He's not going to be moved on this issue. But why extrapolate it out to, like, if you don't love the eclipse, this is why you don't love humans? Why can't we just be different? Why can't some people have baseball be their favorite sport and football be their favorite sport? Why can't some people like vanilla ice cream and other people like chocolate? It's like, oh, you don't love the eclipse? Screw you and humanity. Go look at a cat video. Like that's not what I'm saying.
My comment is about the attention span of people and what we race to. And I'm as guilty of it as anybody. Like, you know, it's like I will race to do something. Well, I better look at Twitter now when I could look at Twitter in 10 minutes after I'm doing whatever I happen to be doing.
Of course.
Oh, there it is right there. There's a Madras, Oregon in the corner of your television screen over there as CBS News is showing us the eclipse as it makes its way across.
It's like when I'm at the air show and my wife is taking all of these pictures on her phone. And I'm thinking, okay, there's going to be a professional photographer that captures the Blue Angels perfectly coming through the skyscrapers with the shot of the city that you're going for that hasn't had six drinks and isn't like one of 700 boats in the lake.
Yeah.
Why not just watch it with your own eyes? And then if you really want that picture, save that picture to your phone.
I understand.
I don't need the eclipse.
You know what we should have done is built ourselves a little pinhole projector. Right?
Sure.
That's something that guys in their 30s and 40s do.
Yeah.
Sit around and build pinhole projectors to watch the eclipse safely. You can make one with two thin pieces of cardboard, Danny, or paper plates. You know, we could do that. I wonder if Ruben did that today. Or we could have the Celestron Eclipse Smart Power Viewers. Could have bought those that are made of paper, come in a 2-pack. Thank you.
Cool.
Cool.
Cool, cool.
The two
you get out of here early, buddy.
I'm going to.
You go watch the eclipse.
The eclipse lasts for a couple hours, by the way, not just the 2.5 minutes of totality. It lasts for about 2.5 hours.
I'm thrilled that you're well actualing me on the eclipse based off the one article that you read in the New York Times.
Hey, man, that's one more than you. That's one more.
That's true, but I've been on social media and around humans, so I have heard plenty of eclipse conversation.
Oh, sure. You had a hot 140 character takes on that you can trust, of course, factually, 100%.
That's right. Well, I mean, those fake New York Times failing. Why am I trusting that? I go to Breitbart for my eclipse information.
Oh, yeah. They just got a very important player back over there.
So I question your sources, Matt Spiegel. It's Spiegel with Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I forgot about it. They're astronomers. They're scientists. They've worked their whole life. I repeat. What makes them?
And that's only like the best 30 seconds of 4.5 minutes of him and Harris going back and forth.
Do you remember the Russell Westbrook going, what? That Jason had discovered last year? That Adam Harris going, what? It's right there. Like,
it's amazing.
That's phenomenal.
I mean, just you could take that logic. What makes Javi Baez a baseball player? Just because he says he's a baseball player?
Just because he's played his whole life and worked his way through the minors and is in the big leagues? I repeat.
What makes you a talk show host? Just because you have a microphone and airtime on a radio station?
For it and you have thoughts about things in the world. I don't know.
That's amazing.
It's okay. Enjoy your lazy eclipse cynicism. As I traverse the interesting world,
I would rather listen to the 4.5 minute conversation those two had than watch the eclipse.
I think I'm with you, actually. Can you send that to me on podcast? As I walk home after transition, not looking up, I will listen to that on my phone.
Yeah, there's an eclipse party over in the building. We have this amazing like balcony area.
Yeah, a little sky deck action.
Yeah, it's pretty big actually.
Yeah.
But there's a huge line of people to get up there. So it's possible that I will not be able to get up there for the big eclipse party where they're giving out the glasses.
But you're going
to
try.
I would like to try.
Cool. Yes. So what time would that have you leaving here?
Transition, let's see, 1:15 would probably work, so let's call it 1:07. No.
Okay, yeah, gotcha. All right.
No, 1:15, something like that. It'd be all fine. Right.
I think you're going to be stuck in line getting to the observation deck, not able to see it.
Which is like the worst.
The worst place you can be. You're going to be like in a hallway or like waiting for an elevator. Maybe in an elevator. You'll be in an elevator during the eclipse. The great plan goes unfold. And I'm going to just go down to walk to the train station, look up and be so like, true. Oh yeah, it just became dark and now it's light again. That was the eclipse.
And you're going to go blind.
That's true.
You will go blind, my friend. Because if you look, it's not just the light itself, Danny. It's the fact that the light changes. That's what's happening.
You got 6 pages of printed out notes with your own highlighter work here.
The sudden changes in luminosity is what can cause retina damage before your eyes have a chance to adapt.
It's my favorite Jamiroquai album.
Yeah. What's that? Changes in luminosity?
Yes.
That's pretty good, Cappy. I like that. I liked Jamiroquai for about 6 months.
Jamiroquai is a soul R&B. What would you call it? Kind of a hit. We're explaining to
dance.
Danny.
Dance.
Oh, thank you.
Dance.
It's a musical group.
Dance soul.
It's a person, actually.
Dance pop.
It's a person.
Yes. No, JK, right? Isn't that his name? JK, I believe. Not
Rowling?
JK Rowling, but JK.
Just kidding.
By the way, I saw Questlove, Jay Zawoski, since you went there, Questlove wearing a t-shirt that said Michael Jackson, and it's a picture of Prince as he was DJing. I thought that was pretty funny.
Danny actually bought that outside of the United Center after a concert. Like, oh, I love that shirt.
I got a great Michael Jackson shirt. It's totally him.
Probably got sent to like the Super Bowl loser countries where those shirts go. They got the Michael Jackson print shirts too.
4-time Buffalo Bill Super Bowl champions.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I have, I think I gave the shirt to Brad Robinson, our colleague who works over at WBBM. Is Brad still work over there? I think he does. Gave him the 2003 National League champion Cubs t-shirt that I bought on Sheffield after Kerry Wood and the Cubs lost game 7 to the Florida Marlins.
You gave it away?
Yeah. It didn't, didn't fit me. Okay. So I gave it to, I figured I'd give it to somebody who would fit. But I had to buy it because, like, you know.
I bought a shirt outside of Wrigley during that series, too. It was Filet the Fish, and it was like a big cub with a bat, and it looked like he had clubbed a marlin, and in his claws there's just like a bloody marlin. It was a very like gruesome animal shirt.
Oh, there you go.
I thought it was great.
Did you ever buy a Pujols Mows My Lawn t-shirt?
Nope, I never went with for the racist shirts.
Ozzy Mows My Lawn.
So you were the only one that didn't have a Kosuke Fukudome shirt.
I did not. Yeah.
The Hoary Cow t-shirt. Oh boy.
You're very comfortable saying what was on the shirts.
Well, yeah, because I'm not as bad. I'm laughing at them.
Oh.
I'm not laughing with them.
No, like, that's the
oh,
line.
Man, I really like that.
Yeah,
that
right.
Cow t-shirt.
It's a tone difference is what you're saying.
Yes.
I'm laughing at the shirts, not with the shirts.
Right, exactly.
Okay, yeah, no, I can see that being a difference. How about your guy Eddie Jackson from the preseason game? He's going to start.
I really like Eddie Jackson. I think he's going to start too.
I'd be surprised. I think that I think it'll be him and Quentin Demps.
Are you with me on not wanting him to return punts? Like, let's not bother to add that to his plate.
He did it so much in college. Yeah, he did it a lot for Bama. It doesn't strike me that would be. Do you think that he's like losing out on reps at safety because he's practicing with the special teams? What's the concern?
You know what? I'm probably overreacting. And my concern is this. There have been a lot of mid-round safeties who I got excited about.
Mm.
And then, boo. And I feel like he's got a real shot because he's a mid-round safety because of injury. Right?
Right.
If he wasn't hurt, he would have gone higher.
Definitely. He did it a lot for Bama. He's a good athlete. The Bears will need all the field position that they could get. So if he is their best option there, given how little they're paying him and that he's not cemented as like a, you know, we can't afford to lose this guy type of player, I would think he would still be involved in the return game. You take your stars off the return game once they become stars.
Right. No, you're totally right.
You know, and I don't think that he's gotten to that place
yet. No, you're right. And there's enough safeties. There's enough people that he may not start, or he may be in the rotation and not start.
But he's looked good, and they don't have a great answer at free safety. You know, Quentin Demps will be there. He'll play one of the safety spots, but they don't have a great natural answer there. So he's got some ball hawk tendencies.
So Kyle Fuller showed a couple of things.
He got a lot of reps, made
a couple of plays,
made some tackles.
But he's always been, this is why Hub and many others have always said, try him at safety. Try him at safety because he's been good where he can see the stuff that's in front of him. It's backpedaling and doing like the corner technique stuff that he's never really picked up.
Right. But also when people question his toughness and willingness to come back, it's good to see him have a willingness to get in there in a preseason game. And
agreed.
He was coming up on a running back and made a tackle in the flat and taking on a guy who probably had 20, 30 mm-hmm. pounds on him. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was he was actually, you know, they were calling his name out for some positive right. reasons, which was a nice change of pace for him.
And then the defensive lineman, whose name we now all must learn, is Roy Richardson something. I forget his.
Roy Robertson Harris.
Thank you very much. Roy Robertson Harris had 2 sacks in garbage time.
He only had
if not garbage time in against the threes.
Eddie Jackson only had 11 total punt returns last year, but 2 of them went for touchdowns, is what I'm remembering. Okay. I would have thought he did it much more, but he just had the big highlight plays. Okay, my mistake. I thought he had done it more. So maybe he won't be.
That's some, and they need some.
No, and I remember the highlights. So I guess I just figured he was doing it more often. He returned 2 punts for a touchdown, but only returned 11 of them. That's a hell of a ratio.
And to continue your line of thought about Tariq Cohen, that's not something he's done because you think, oh, we got a Darren Sproles type, have him do that. But no, he's more right. a running back.
Right. He said he did it in practice in college, but he never really did it in the game because he was mm-hmm. used so much on the offensive side of the ball. We'll transition Steve Rosenblum, my old friend Rosie, in for Jason Goff with Dan Bernstein next on The Score.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.